Welcome to Morning Manna. I'm Pastor Greg, and it is good to be with you. We're going through the Psalms, and this morning we're going to look at Psalm 27, a Psalm of David, once again. And it is thought by some that David wrote this Psalm in the earlier part of his life when he went into exile. You remember how Saul the king grew jealous of David, wanted to kill David. David had to flee, and he would spend years in exile. And some think that this was written during those years. There are others who think this was written towards the end of David's life, when in 2 Samuel 21, while fighting the Philistines, David grew weary and got in trouble, and there was a giant that was about to kill him, Ishbi-Benob, his name. And Abishai, David's guy Abishai, came to the rescue and took down the giant and saved David's life. And David's men at that point, they vowed never to let their king go out to battle. Lest the light of Israel go out, they said, you know, calling David the light of Israel. And I think this is when this psalm was written in David's life. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So David says, I'm not the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Some giant with a funny name? Nope, I fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the fear that trumps every other fear, that causes every other fear to run away. And so that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because the fear of the Lord frees you. It frees you from the fear of man, from the opinions of others, from wanting to gain the acceptance of it. It just frees you. And so David says, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it's they who will stumble and fall. And though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. So the secret to David's confidence, you know, his public confidence, was his private obedience. And this is just true for all people. Listen, if you're a believer here this morning, what happens in private is going to dictate how you portray yourself in public. And if you don't have a private, intimate relationship with God, that's going to come out in your relationships, in your public life. And so David, you know, kind of defiantly, you know, sings this kind of a trash-talking song because his confidence is fully in the Lord. It reminds us of when Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land and lead the people into the promised land. Do you remember what happened in Joshua 5 before they went in? Joshua had an encounter with Christ and the angel of the Lord, but we know that was a Christophany. And Joshua bowed and he worshiped before he went into battle. And that's the way it needs to work in the Christian life, is that we're yielded, we're submitted, we're worshiping the Lord, then we're ready. We're ready for the battle. Well, verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." Did you catch that? One thing. If you're going to ask the Lord for one thing, what is it going to be? David says, "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's it. David didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for any kind of success or status. He asked that he would be able to dwell in God's house and gaze upon the glory of the Lord. You remember what Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, I press forward towards the mark of the prize of the upward call in Christ." That's it, one thing. I'm a single-minded person. I love the Lord, and the Lord is my all in all. I am complete in the Lord. And so if I seek him first, then everything else is just added to me. Remember when Mary and Martha were in the house, and Martha was in the kitchen just working away, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and just worshiping him and listening to him, and Martha's bugged by that. And she comes out and kind of chastises her sister, and Jesus says, "Listen, one thing is needful here, Martha. One thing." Listen, we'll end there for today, but one thing, are you a one thing kind of person? Have you summed up your life to one overarching goal and pursuit, and that's the pursuit of the Lord himself, to gaze upon his beauty, to dwell in his temple? "This one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, I just press towards the mark of the upward call in Christ." God bless you.